Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. I was chuckling because Rob came in asking Cody about his cookie. He's like, was there any orange zest in the cookie?
There is, Rob. Thank you for noticing. Yes. That's a refined palate there, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
That's a married man.
I'm telling you, you could taste the orange zest.
Yeah, there's sure. I mean, there's the zest of an orange.
I just like the too, cookie exchange downstairs. Joanne brought in these chocolate cookies, and I preferred them over the pistachio cookie. That's all. Hers had heavy butter flavor, good chocolate chip. Anyway,
there were two sticks of butter in those cookies. I'm
sure. I don't think that's not accurate.
My healthy cookies.
You also put some Rosetta. You said
Rosetta Stone. Yeah.
No. What
I actually spoke Italian.
Ricotta.
I'm sorry.
Some Rosetta. He was actually learning Spanish while cooking.
I don't know cheeses. I'm sorry.
Italian. It's cannoli, you know? I got to be learning
Italian.
That's
true. I guess it would have been Italian. That's true.
Grazie, yeah. Grazie.
Anyway, number one actually is that it's Red Friday in Kansas City, and Cody loves when I bring this up. It's another Friday in which...
Congrats.
Wait, Drew's wearing red.
I'm wearing red.
He actually
red.
Is. Hey. Drew is wearing red.
Let's go.
And yours is red.
That's red.
Yeah.
That's and red. Cody's wearing gray.
Underneath.
Blue.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Anyway, we got an update on practice, though. We did from Chiefs Arrowhead facility today. DJ Humphries, as expected, was once again without a helmet. He's not practicing all week, so he's not playing on Sunday. We'll find out perhaps in the 1 o'clock hour today if Andy will tell us if it's Joe Tooney moving to left tackle or, I think, Wanya Morris playing left tackle on Sunday. We'll find out together on that one. Also, practice window officially opened up. Hollywood Brown, I'm watching video right now from some of the reporters that are there. Hollywood Brown jogging around. Good to see him back on a practice field, really, for the first time since training camp.
Yeah, him and Harrison Butker will be out on the practice field. Their windows have been opened. Next up on What's Trending, the Miami Dolphins are waiving wide receiver Odell Beckham in a decision they said was a mutually agreed upon one. Sure, all breakups are mutual, as you know. But he'll be moving on. He can free to sign with any team he wants once he clears the waiver system. He's a veteran, so he can still kind of choose his spot on where he ends up going. We can talk about this later. For once, it is kind of nice to not see a wide receiver cut and be like, can't hurt. They don't need Odell Beckham.
What's funny about that?
They don't need Odell Beckham. And now this is when he'll get in.
Well, Mac from obviously Morning Show, he came out to the bullpen to Drew and I. You were somewhere. And he goes, we've gotten 3 texts this morning of people saying the Chiefs should sign Beckham. And we started laughing because we just had a conversation off air earlier on top of that. But there's still some people like, no, we don't need it. We don't need to do this.
Why? I will say.
We don't need to do this.
I still think, like, this is my hot take for the week. I think if the Chiefs had gotten Odell Beckham instead of the Rams, they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, that year?
I think they would have won the Super Bowl that year if they had gotten Odell Beckham instead of the Rams.
They would have beat a certain team from Cincy. I'm with you. I'm with you. Then I'd love to know what the conversation would have been around team. I mean, then what? I mean, there'd be.
There'd be none. He'd have 4 Super Bowls in 5 years.
No, I'm talking about Cincy. Oh.
Well, they just talk about how sad they are. Joe Burrow's house.
Next.
Too.
That does suck. Next
it definitely
sucks.
He was really
training.
Bummed about it. Did you see his press conference about it?
I think so. Not
talking about
too
the public-private life.
Everybody, you would feel violated if someone breaks into your house. I mean, heck, somebody broke in my car once and you feel violated.
My house got broken into once.
I totally get that. He seemed to be even more upset, though, that the dispatch call leaked out. That's public record, I think, after a while. I don't know how that works. But the dispatch call got out. and everybody found out that this like supermodel was like staying at his house or something, and that's what he's upset about.
Yeah.
Not that he's not
his private life.
Yeah, and by the way, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He broke up with his other girlfriend. It's not like he's cheating on anybody. It's just he didn't like
that's a crappy way to have a relationship be exposed.
Yeah.
Because she had to call the police and then the story got out. I get it.
Anyway,
I mean, I don't blame him.
Next up on What's Trending, some reports out there now, including from CBS and the Irish Examiner, that the Pittsburgh Steelers are likely to play in Ireland next year for the first NFL game in Ireland.
That's interesting.
That was a rumor for a little while. Dublin has hosted an NFL game, I guess, before. I apologize. With the Steelers back in 1997. It was a preseason game, though.
I was like, when?
And it was a,
I feel like I remembered a game in Ireland.
It was something called the Preseason American Bowl. Back in 1997, the Steelers played the Chicago Bears. Yeah.
Feels like the trophy there would just be like a single American flag.
Do the Steelers
congratulations
have
on wearing the American Bowl.
Do the Steelers have the Bears on the schedule next year? Will they just redo it?
Maybe.
In a real game?
So Germany has the Chiefs and Ireland has the Steelers.
We don't know for sure that Germany has the Chiefs, but they probably do.
We think the Chiefs might be playing
in
Germany.
I'm just saying in general, like the fan base.
Yeah.
The Steelers, 2025, they do have the Bears on the schedule, but it's a road game, so it wouldn't be that one.
Unlikely to be that one. Next up on What's Trending, the Yankees are finishing a deal to trade for the Brewers reliever Devin Williams in a pretty splashy winter meetings move. Devin Williams ranks in the top five of pretty much every statistical reliever category over the last 4 years. Innings pitched, DRA, strikeouts. He's one of the top 10 relievers probably in all of baseball. So obviously a pretty big get for the New York Yankees. That according to Jeff Passan over ESPN.
Once Soto signed, all of a sudden all these other moves, right?
Oh, now they had all this money.
Opens the floodgates. Teams were all waiting for the first domino to drop, and now we're starting to see more and more moves happen. That is What's Trending on Cody and Gold. Reminder, 1 o'clock hour today, Fan Club Friday. We will talk some Chiefs football. We'll have our game predictions. We'll find out from Andy Reid, perhaps, what's going to happen with left tackle. We'll also have a couple drinks, and Cody's younger brother going to be in studio. Mm-hmm. So that should be interesting. I'm assuming
he currently works at the bank. He cannot give any bank robbing tips.
Does he bank as well? Like, does he bake as well? Sorry. Does he bank as well?
He cooks. He doesn't bake. I don't think he doesn't bake at all, but he likes to be in the kitchen. He likes to cook. Like most. You know what? Honestly, it's the least distrusting thing about you is that you spend zero time in the kitchen. How could you just not cook at all? Yes, I think everyone should have like some like, and I guess I've never really asked Drew. Drew, what's your guys' food setup? How do you and Bree go about eating dinner? Do you guys just eat out all the time, make food?
We made spaghetti last night.
Okay. Is that a common thing? Like out of seven nights of the week, how often do you cook your dinner? Of any kind. I'll count like, I don't know, like when Alex throws a mozzarella stick in the air fryer, you know? And he just eats that for
okay.
Dinner.
So I would say at least out of the 7 days we I would say each day we have something that's made or like a frozen pizza or something like that.
I mean, look, we have frozen pizzas at our house too. Not above it.
Now, Cody's out here making it every, you know, again, I always joke. He's whether he's at work or not, he's like the guy in Goodfellas. He's like dicing the onion and garlic very thinly and making his own pasta sauce every meal with a razor blade.
I did chop up vegetables the other day.
There you go.
I'm proud for you.
You know? I've told you, I'm not a leftover person, so when it comes to food, sometimes it's just easier to eat out for when it's
just
one person.
Depends on the leftovers,
I think. When it's just one person. If I had a family of five, I obviously would not be able to afford eating out every single meal. There's no chance.
No, you'd be destitute.
I'd be broke. Yeah,
you'd be living in the basement of Odyssey.
Text line says, calm down, Betty Crocker. We don't all cook, Cody Tapp.
Somebody asked if I made my own sauce from scratch.
It's a good,
no.
It's, you know what it is?
Cody's out here.
It's like
cardboard pizza shaming, as someone said.
It's a life skill, in my opinion. Everyone should be able to cook something.
You're acting like I don't know how to turn the stove on. I would literally starve to death if I had to turn the stove on. That's not. No.
What do you do if there's like, let's say there's going to be like a massive.
I go to the grocery store. The first thing I would probably go and buy is pasta noodles and pasta sauce.
Okay. And then what's the other four meals?
I'd buy some Uncrustables.
Smart. Some frozen stuff you could throw in the air fryer.
Some frozen pizzas.
No eggs. No.
Would you make like eggs or bacon or?
Yeah.
You know, like a casserole.
I like both those things, but you're asking would I make them? No.
Hash browns?
No. Love hash browns.
What's your preferred egg type?
Scramble.
Okay.
Scrambled's the best.
That's like the little kid egg, so it's kind of funny.
Oh,
that's I like scrambled eggs.
I'm sorry they're not sunny side up.
Jeez.
Over easy is the best egg, by the way, if we're ranking eggs.
Grilling. Just grill, baby. Just grill.
In an ice storm, it'd be hard for you to like get out there and knock the...
So you,
I mean, the Traeger requires power, so there has to be power. If we lose power, we're in trouble.
So you want to get any like ground beef or chicken or anything like that? Or
I'll make some like cheap tacos. So I'll get some ground beef, buy some taco shells, and then I can do some tacos.
What do you do for the toppings? Just cheese?
Typically on my tacos, I prefer a little cheese and tomato, and that's it.
Okay, so you could do that relatively easy. That's like a short baked taco.
Yeah.
Okay. Just asking.
You're getting me hungry about.
It is lunchtime, ladies and gentlemen. It is the noon hour. You know.
Yeah, you could eat some more cookies.
True.
Some more cookies down there.
That's right.
Someone says, I can't believe Cody is talking down to listeners that don't cook. I'm not a man of the people. They said Dusty would never treat the listeners so poorly. If you missed it earlier,
really?
Dusty.
Now we're back to this.
Dusty named Cody his Richard of the Week after the whole stealing of the tweet controversy from Wednesday.
I did not steal a tweet. I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. We'll get to...
You also said you'd fight Mac.
Yeah, you're just trying to fight
the
morning show.
No, I said you should fight Mac because we're a team. And
no,
now they're our enemies.
You said I want to punch him in the face.
I said you should because we're a team. I wanted you... This is like a initiation. Show me that you're a part of this team.
Initiation.
Attack another, you know, the enemy against us.
There's no hate. I will not take any hazing. I don't need to be hazed.
All right, let's talk about college football for a second. We know that the college football playoff is going on next week. We got the opening round games, all those campus sites. And there's a ton of discussion right now about how they go about the seeding, sure, but also the potential qualifiers. And, like, should we have the top conference champions get the bye automatically? Like, a team like Boise State is a 3 seed, but they're not actually ranked 3rd in the country.
Yeah.
That whole thing. And is Oregon getting a tougher path than the 5 seed? These are all things they can tweak. There's some bigger changes maybe on the horizon that we have to wait till 2031 for. And it was discussed, it's a little bit longer clip, but Josh Pate was talking about one idea that's been thrown out there to expand the playoff to, when it does that, to 16. I think we all recognize it'll probably get to 16 in about 5 or 6 years. But with that, maybe if you win your regular season conference title, that's your automatic berth. Like the Big Ten would get 3 or 4 spots. The Big 12 would get 2 or whatever. And the SEC would get 3 or 4 or whatever. And if you win the regular season, you're an automatic qualifier. For the other 2 spots, let's say the conference would get, you would be able to play conference championship weekend, but we'd turn it into automatic qualifier weekend. I don't want to play the whole cut because it's long, but that was his idea.
Essentially,
though.
It's like six teams in the SEC. Six teams in the SEC would have a chance. If the Big 12 got 3, it would be like 5 teams in the Big 12 would have a chance to go to the college football playoff. And honestly, once we're starting to talk about the teams 12 through 25, do you think that there's a genuinely different, a big difference in the quality of football team? Be honest. Do you, like, Drew, you college football all the time. Is there a legitimate quality difference between 12 and 25?
Oh, not very much at all.
Yeah, so, like, give them all a chance. Because then at the very least, if they're doing this play-in game, they're the 6th team in the SEC. At least I know they're playing good football. They're playing good enough to get down to the 5 seed, have to beat another SEC team, feeling good about themselves. It feels like it's a better chance to put a team on a run.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're college football, you can pitch it. I think this is an undersold part of it. Because you're college football, you can pitch it the same way you have college basketball. Look at us. We're the king of tournaments. We're the king of tournaments. Nothing but play-in games and all the big conferences and all the schools you know and the underdogs, because you got to include that. And if you're talking 4th seed in the Big 12 or you're talking 6th seed in the SEC, you are talking underdogs. You're talking Missouri football, right? A team that doesn't typically get in the thing, doesn't usually get in the college football playoff. Like, I think you can kind of create this atmosphere because the rivalry stuff is dead. College football has to rebrand itself, in my opinion, goal to being something else entertaining. What is it? Right? And if for me, I'd be like, we're the tournament. We're, you know, like, the playoffs are the same thing in the NFL, but like you get to do these like school versus school, conference versus conference, SEC play-in weekend, and now I get 2 games instead of 1. I don't know why
that fulfills the TV partner aspect. Yeah, I mean that takes care of the intrigue for the TV partners. They're not losing the money from the conference championship games. 100% with you, and it can be part of the bracket that you're talking about. I mean, it basically just like in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. When we all fill out the bracket or whatever, even right on that bracket, while you may not actually pick the first 4 winners, it says first 4, it shows the teams that are in the first 4, and that's on the bracket. It is part of the postseason. So you could do the same thing here. The graphic that's up there in the top left, it would just have automatic qualifier game 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, however many games it would need to be. And then they would know who they're going to advance and play. I don't hate it because we had a conference championship weekend where some of the conference title games did matter. like it was a play in your end game with Boise State and UNLV. It was a play in your end kind of game, and we thought for ACC, you know, with Clemson, it was for them. SMU got in even though they lost. But then there was that for some of them, not every single one, but it was for a majority. It didn't impact the Big Ten. The Big Ten title game wasn't that. But the Big 12 was. Iowa State, of course, did not get in, but Arizona State did because they won. So we'll see.
In terms of the conversation, it creates the, like Missouri, they lose to South Carolina. Basically, the season, like their playoff chances were done. With this new system, they just have to get to the sixth spot in the SEC, which ironically, they were in like the seven or eight spot, right outside of that. So them getting, you know, them trying to find the way in, the games matter more for everybody, I think, outside of if you take the Big 12 and you have teams that are lower on the totem pole like Kansas or West Virginia or Oklahoma State, like they would have been out of it long gone. But find, like Kansas wouldn't have been out after 4 weeks or 5 weeks. Yeah. They still could find a way to, if they stay on that run, I mean, who knows where they can get to. It keeps everybody in more often, which obviously provides more intrigue from fans, more interest from fans. It lasts longer, I guess, than them just stopping, like not paying attention after week 10 of the season.
Here's the question I would have if I were the other conferences. What is the number you would accept of guaranteed spots for the SEC and the Big Ten versus what you get? Like, what is a number that you're like, okay, I can take it? Because I think the Big 12 might take 4-2. Like, they shouldn't. They should fight for 3-2 or 4-3.
The Big 12's not going to get 4.
No. 4 for the SEC, 2 for us.
Oh, I thought you said the Big 12 should take 4-2.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Gotcha.
4-2. Gotcha. Like, the ratio being off. What is the number that the Big 12 and the ACC should accept from the other two conferences as enough qualified options to make us feel we get in there? Because right now, this year, they only got one.
And they could have had two. They refused. There was a report in the offseason that the Big Ten and SEC said, hey, give us, you know, the automatic, we'll give you two. And the Big 12 was like, no, we don't want to guarantee that. When, of course, they should have taken the offer. They would have had two teams in. Yeah. In retrospect, there's not going to be many years where the Big 12 is getting two teams in. They're just not.
We have a 12?
With 12, yeah.
Correct. I think that the, you know, 16 actually could pan out to be better, because if you think four automatics for the Big Ten, SEC, the Big 12 and ACC get three, the top two teams, they're in, and then you play between 3 and 4 for that spot. Again, it does the same thing in the SEC and the Big Ten does, just instead of six teams being in it, there's four. Kansas State, ironically, would be playing BYU for that play-in spot. So, again, for a team that really had kind of fallen off the face of the map in terms of Kansas State, they'd still be in it and have a shot to slide their way in.
Is anyone bothered by the, like what he's talking about, the K-State BYU thing? Is anyone bothered, at this point, I don't care, but like, is anyone bothered by the BYU beat us earlier in the year and then we beat BYU, but we get the spot? Anyone care that like Kansas State would get a spot in which technically they split their games against each other?
No, because technically they could have, there was a theory they could have played in the Big 12 title game and rematched. And if Kansas State would have won, they would have been in and BYU would have been out and nobody could, okay. I don't think anybody would have complained.
Yeah. One other question, home sites?
Yes, please.
For the play-in,
home sites?
Yes, yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I think so too. It's going to make it a bigger challenge for the road team to actually get the win, but You were fourth in the SEC, not
correct.
Sixth.
100%.
So you do, I'm agreeing with you. Like, are you a third in the SEC, not sixth? So you kind of deserve the chance to have a better chance to win.
I would prefer that. I wonder if the conferences would still try to have a neutral site game because they feel they can get more money out of it. That would be the only thing.
Take it to Atlanta or whatever.
Someone is very mad at you. They think they called you a Jayhawk hick. You're a Jayhawker, Drew.
First of all, I can't stand Kansas, just like everybody else who's not a Kansas alum or a Kansas fan.
See, do you hear that? You hear that?
Second of all, they said if Missouri beat South Carolina, they'd be in the
CFP.
Mm-hmm. Call me a moron. I said they lost to South Carolina, they'd still be in the conversation because they were three losses after they lost to South Carolina. If they'd have beaten South Carolina, I don't think they'd have been in, but they'd have been in the conversation. I don't know if they would have made it over a 10
and 2
SMU team.
Why would you want to water down the college football playoff already? Well, this wouldn't change until 2031. They're going to expand it to 16. That's going to happen. I don't think we need to go past 16, but in 2031 or whatever, it's going to go to 16. And so this would allow them to do it because conference title games, if you go to 16, conference title games would mean even less if you get to that point. So this is why the automatic qualifier.
But the conference play-ins would be cooler.
Yeah. No,
they would actually mean more and there'd be more of them.
Correct.
How is this a bad thing?
Yeah, this isn't happening in the next year or two. This is down the road.
Because the number one team in the SEC, I'll just tell you right now, the number one seed in the SEC conference title game is in. They're never losing their spot. If they're the number one team in the SEC going into the conference title game, they're in the college football playoff. That's a lock. That's
correct.
Not same with the Big Ten. That's a lock. There's no question. Oregon wasn't going to be out because they missed. That team, it doesn't mean anything to them. Hell, for the second team, it means probably something maybe once every 4 years, like in the SEC and the Big Team. They're essentially just playing that game to be like, let's see you get seated higher. No one's playing for anything. They're just playing each other.
Yeah, which I think is nice because you're playing to make it in there. Like if you, and it's all categorized by the standings, you're positioning yourself throughout all of the conference schedule. Like there's no excuse. There's no comparison in strength of schedule anymore. It's did you position yourself to make it in automatically, or you have to beat one team straight up to make it. I think I am going to put Jayhawk Hick in my Twitter profile, by the way. I think that's very
Jayhawk
funny.
Hick.
Hashtag Jayhawk Hick. That's hilarious.
Drew just told you. He's a Missouri guy.
Yeah, he told you.
Drew that was a K-State guy when he first got here.
I'm an employee of the University of Missouri now.
I got two MU guys on the show now. We knew about Cody.
I'm not an MU guy.
I am from
University of Missouri.
I pointed this out before. I didn't grow up watching, so the most college football I grew up watching was Colorado. The most I watched college basketball, Kansas. My stepdad was a huge Kansas fan. My brother, who will be here later, is a huge Kansas fan. I watched a lot of Kansas basketball.
You in studio then.
I watched a lot of Kansas basketball growing up, just to be clear.
249 miles of college football podcast, a new one's out. I am fair to every single team. I propped up Kansas a lot during the podcast. I think I
tore them down.
I gave them more of a shot, I think, than Gold did. 5-6 games in to make a bowl game.
You
said it was over.
I think it was
you
fair.
You said the bowl game was over. I said there might be a shot.
It was over.
They weren't going to a bowl game.
It was not over until they lost to Baylor. Let's be honest. They had a shot to make a bowl game.
Yeah.
I had hope.
You had mentioned it earlier in the text line that there was a couple of people. I'm going to help you out, text line. If there's someone out there still that thinks, ooh, Odell Beckham's on the street. Well.
This is not 2017.
Let's get him in Kansas City. First, it's not 2017. But hell, I'll just tell you, if Odell Beckham was on the street last year, I'd have been begging this team to sign him. Praying, please.
Mm-hmm.
They need it. It's so bad. We're not there anymore. Good news, Chiefs fans.
They're also getting Hollywood Brown back soon.
While they do possess problems on a roster, like any team possesses a problem on a roster, look at the receiver unit right now and tell me that they need Odell Beckham Jr. Where would he slate in? He's not. I don't think he's the weapon that Xavier Worthy is right now, which means I think that when Hollywood Brown's back, he's below that, which means he's definitely below DeAndre Hopkins, which means he's also below Travis Kelce. I'm not even sure he'd be as effective in this offense as Noah Gray. What's he, option 6?
He's,
I'm good.
He's just barely above Nico Remigio, maybe.
Yeah. You want a practice squad deal? Fine. Come on over. But this is not last year. This is not 2 years ago. The Chiefs, even though they lost their number one and number two wide receiver for your huge chunk of this year, and they might get Hollywood Brown back, they did such a good job in the trade market getting DeAndre Hopkins, and they have brought Xavier Worthy along enough and Noah Gray along enough from a development standpoint that they don't even need to entertain Odell Beckham being on the street. I don't want anything to do with this move, and I'm glad that they're in a position that you and I don't have to sit around here and do a conversation and be like, would it be worth bringing in Odell Beckham? Because the answer is no, it's not. And I think we all should know that at this point.
Didn't do anything in Miami this year.
Did he even play for them? Was he hurt?
9 games he did technically play.
He played 9 games?
He played in 9 games for the Dolphins in his Dolphins career.
He played 9 games this year?
I believe it was this year.
I don't recall seeing a single highlight of Odell Beckham this year. He played?
Tyreek Hill hadn't done much either.
I got to be honest.
Fairness.
I just kind of thought he was hurt. Oh, my God. His stats this year. He has 9 catches for 55 yards.
Sounds like a good game, but it's been 9 of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if Miami, the only way I would have accepted Odell Beckham here is if it was a straight trade for Sky Moore 2 weeks ago.
Look up Tyreek Hill's numbers, Cody. He hasn't done nothing either.
I know. Tyreek's been hurt.
And also, for like half of the season, they had someone not named Tua Tagovailoa throwing him the
football. Yeah, but even when he's come back, it's been the Jalen Waddle show.
Yeah, it has. But Tyreek has been hurt.
Someone said Tyreek Hill has more kids this year than he does touchdowns.
Oh, man.
Oof. 5 kids, I believe, this year, and then 4 touchdowns.
Five touchdowns this year, I think.
Oh, he has 5 then.
He's got 11 kids, doesn't he?
He doesn't have 5 born this year, does he?
He has not had 5 kids in the last 12 months. He has 11 total. He has not had 5 kids in the last 11 months, right? There's no chance. That's put in some work.
One report that claims he's got 5.
He's got 5 this year?
No, that's what I'm saying.
This year? Yeah.
He has as many kids as he does touchdowns.
This year.
Like, I know he has 11 kids. You're telling me that in the last 9 to 12 months, this man has
With different.
Look, I know inflation's up there, but condoms aren't that expensive. I mean,
no one. Goodness. By the way, there's no chance he's retiring anytime soon. This guy needs the money to avoid being broke. I don't care how much he's money making in the NFL. He's going to be broke.
Kids? Five this year?
He's married now, too, right? Yeah, I believe so.
Yes.
11 kids? And look, I know that I'm one.
Five this year. I honestly thought that was fake. Five in 1 year is nuts. From five different women?
Presumably. I mean,
I believe so.
They take 9 months to gestate.
Well, somebody could have had twins. Cody, I don't know.
That's true. I guess Irish twins.
My sister and I were born 11 and a half months apart. So
I know the same woman didn't have five, Cody. Thank you.
She could. I don't think we'd be having this conversation. It turns out she had quadruplets. I think I'd have heard that.
Five in a 9 month period is just wild.
Man, you gotta like at some point, I'll just tell you right now, he doesn't have enough friends in his life.
Oh, I think he has a lot of friends.
Good friends.
Well, I think they're good friends.
I think after two, I'd start saying something. But after three, I'd be like, listen to me right now. You got three kids with three different, I don't know. Go get a vasectomy. They can revert. Are you out of your mind? Either go to Costco and buy the biggest box of condoms they have available for sale or get a vasectomy. You got to stop. I have some words for you. We're close enough friends to be like, you can't keep doing this, man.
He doesn't care. He clearly doesn't care.
Five kids this year.
I don't know if this doesn't shock you. I don't know if this is shocking to you, but having heard him and seen him in this city for many, many years, as we all have, may not be the smartest individual. There's a chance. There's just a slight chance that maybe that's not him. Up next, we'll get into who's not going to play, it looks like, on Sunday, not only for the Chiefs, but for the Cleveland Browns. And it's a very good thing for Kansas City, considering a track record. We'll tell you what that is and the random question of the day next. It's the holiday season, so you get different ads that pop up on Instagram or whatever, items. And, they're always listening, right? The apps are always listening, and they must have heard our conversation from last week or whatever, where Cody ruined the college football playoff logo for all of us.
Sorry.
By
Drew's
saying,
never going to be able to look at it again.
Like saying the college football playoff trophy looked like a part of the anatomy for women.
That's true.
Yeah, you did say that.
I did say that.
But I think I should buy this for the show. It's a 3D printed college football playoff trophy replica.
Okay.
And you can pick the year. It actually looks kind of cool. I feel like we need to have this in studio. The problem is, obviously, none of the locals have won it. So you can customize one, and we can customize one that says Cody in gold, or we can pick a year. But I don't want to pick a year like 2016 Alabama. I don't care anything about any schools. So
I think we say Cody in gold, and then
no year with the team logo.
The unofficial bracket that you and I would be doing hypothetically on social media that is in no way tied to Odyssey or a 96.5 The Fan, that could be what the winner
could
get.
We can just do the one without the team, and it's just standard.
Yeah, just say Cody and Gold.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we do that.
Then I can change the logo anytime.
It looks kind of cool.
It's not bad. It's like a pretty good 3D printed replica, it looked like.
It's a small little replica. So anyway, might have to order that bad boy for the show, For the show.
For the show. It's important. We like to grow as a unit. We had Briscoe on earlier, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I think some people had missed, there is a massive injury. Like, we're talking about DJ Humphreys out for the Chiefs. There's one way bigger based on this matchup for the Browns. David Njoku has not been practicing, which means he's probably not going to play. He's also been targeted like 75 times over the last three games with Jameis Winston. It's not that much, but it is. I'm being hyperbolic, but not enough probably on that end. Him not playing on Sunday could be a massive difference in this game. He's one of the 10 best probably tight ends in the league. The Chiefs are one of the worst teams in the league at covering tight end. If he doesn't play, that feels like it limits their offense.
Tight ends have been the one position, basically the one area in coverage where the Chiefs have said this year, we're willing to give that up. We have flaws.
We'll take the loss.
We have flaws. There's other areas we think are going to hurt us more. That's the one thing we're willing to give up. That's essentially what they have said. And tight ends have definitely been that. Njoku, because of his size and bigger bodied tight end, that would be a matchup mess for this team. And it looks more and more. I don't know if they've officially ruled him out, although that's going to come. He hasn't practiced the last couple days. So they're not going to have Njoku. And that is huge. And Jameis Winston's had a nice rapport with him and Jerry Jeudy. So anything to to take a weapon out of the picture to deal with is definitely a good thing. I understand you're like, hey, their backup will eat too. Still, that backup's not David.
Yeah, I like Jordan Akins over. And you're like, well, what is his over? I don't know yet, but I like the over. That's the point. Do I, like, whatever it ends up being on Sunday after they officially rule out David Njoku, who did not practice again today, whatever total they end up putting on for him, I like the over because tight ends will get the better of him.
Yeah, Stone Smart came in for the injured Will Dissly last week, had 3 catches for 54 yards.
Yeah. And what do you think the over was on Smart before
they probably couldn't even bet it.
Yeah.
And if you could, it was 9 yards. I mean, it was... He's their backup tight end in L.A. And but in this case, Jordan Akins, maybe they'll give you 12
and a half.
Normally
you'd get a number because, you know, yeah, they'll usually give you a number because Njoku's going to be out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be 22 and a half. Take the over. Like, tight ends get the better of the safeties in Kansas City. And I think partially because of their limitations at corner, they've been having to put safeties more on some of these guys where they might use a corner on occasion or use a linebacker on occasion. You're seeing Connor and Justin Reed and kind of everybody get beat a little bit, which I guess brings me to at least one player. I would play Hicks more. Is it crazy based on the way
he has been playing more?
Even more.
Because he has been playing more.
He is like the only safety that I am not seeing getting regularly beat way downfield. Are we sure that Hicks shouldn't be playing more for Kansas City? And he has been playing more than he was earlier in the season. But are we sure that that number, Jaden Hicks, shouldn't kick up a little bit? You and I were both fans of Jaden Hicks coming out of out of preseason too, because he was a player who stood out pretty consistently.
Sure.
I would say. And maybe he is the natural Justin Reed replacement next year when his contract's up. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, his contract, I mean, he has been playing more and he doesn't, like, they're not picking on him. For a rookie defensive back who's behind 3 safeties? Feels not.
Now, these are season numbers. Let me get game by game. I was just curious just to see if they've increased
the
way. It feels like it's been more. I don't have the numbers prior to the conversation. Let me see. Snap count 2024 for Jaden Hicks. All right. So early in the season, the first 2 weeks, he had 5 snaps. That was it. Look at this. Yeah, it's clearly gone up, Cody. Okay. So the first 8 games, anywhere from 0 to 9 snaps every week.
Okay.
Week 9. 16 snaps. Week 10 and 11, 12 snaps. Week 12, 24 snaps. Last week, 26.
Now we're talking.
The last 2 weeks, his snaps have gone from 20% of the snaps to 35 to 43%. So they're doing what you're saying. They are already getting.
I'm saying,
Cody,
more.
40, yeah, but 43% of the snaps, that's actually a lot if you consider the position he plays.
This sounds like.
When they have Justin Reed, who's obviously going to get majority.
I think there's a chance that Justin.
Back on Brian Cook's
I know,
snaps.
But I think there's a chance that that Jaden Hicks is the best safety on the roster.
Well, I think there's a very
like, I think
good
there's a chance. So, like,
long-term
chance. Do I want him playing 43%? I would no. I want to play him 60%.
Yeah, there's
and you got coverage issues. So what's the harm in trying?
Well, again, I would just say the reason why they're already doing it. They're doing what they're doing what you want them to do. They've increased from a guy getting 19% of the snaps to 43% in 2 weeks.
And they cut and here's the reason why you know that they're planning on playing him more. Tell me how much they cut his special team snaps. I bet they went way down.
Of course, went from 1 week when he had 35% of the regular snaps, was still getting 80% of special team snaps. Last week, though, 26% or 26 snaps, only 12 special team snaps.
He only played half.
No, yes.
So, yeah, they're kicking it down. Look,
they're already doing what you're talking about.
Yeah, I agreed. And so I shouldn't really complain. They need more help in the secondary in order to do that. But if Njoku's not going to play, okay. Oh, no. Jordan Akins will get something, but that's going to limit what they can do, especially in the red zone. It's going to stall some driveouts. That means you only have to really worry about how you shut down Judy. It makes them one-dimensional in a way that makes it much easier for Kansas City to guard if they're going to be without him. If they had Njoku defensively, I'm far more worried. Jameis can do crazy things anyway, and Njoku is a good tight end who can take advantage of your biggest weakness on defense, probably, which is covering tight ends. I couldn't believe when Smart started. I'm like, are we serious? That was the moment when I'm like, okay, any tight end's going to get yardage against Kansas City. And you and I have talked about this. You had said earlier, Kansas City has lost 7 straight games against the spread. They were actually once above 500 against the spread.
They were. Got off to a good start.
They've lost 7 straight games against the spread. Not obviously games. They've only lost 1 of those games. That's a trend that everybody's picked up on. So you're like, yeah, I'm moving on.
I am.
I think... If you wanted to do, I think it'd be worthwhile betting exercise to tell me what the over-unders were before the games on tight ends and how often they hit against Kansas City. Because it might be 10 straight in a row and nobody's talking about it. I borderline think it can't be less than 8 out of the last 10 games tight ends have covered the over against Kansas City, because every single game they're the leading receiver for the opposing team.
Yeah, I think at one point we did check, and like last week Will Disley got hurt, so at one point, so he didn't go over, I don't think, his number. I want to say out of the 13 games, maybe it's like 7 or 8 of the games, actually. I know it feels like every week, but I think 7 or 8 of the games, that number's got over. Certainly week one, Isaiah Likely went way over, and Mark Andrews didn't, because Mark Andrews didn't do anything in that game. It was all Isaiah Likely, if you guys recall. Gesicki in week two had a pretty big game.
So in your fairness, it's like you might have to choose the right tight end, but it's still not bad to bet a tight end.
There you go.
Not always be the starting tight end, but in the case where Njoku is down, well, then the obvious thing is to go to Akins from that perspective. And again, I think he'll probably get something, but... You know, I'll say that. He said, the text line saying Nate Taylor was kind of rough on Hicks the other day, missed an assignment and communication
issues.
There
was one route that Joshua Palmer was wide open on where Hicks kind of turned around. It was like a 25-yard completion.
You're right, but I'm not going to have any trouble finding that on tape for Justin Reed and Connor and Brian Cook. So, sometimes it's like they hold the ring, like, you blew your assignment. I'm like, these jerks have been doing it all year. What? Now I'm the bad guy because I did it once?
I forget. There was one play where, who was it that Justin Reed got just burnt and just toasted by on the sideline? He couldn't keep up
the last couple of weeks.
I don't know if it was a couple weeks.
Trey Tucker.
Yes.
Trey Tucker.
Yes, yeah. Trey Tucker, too. It's like,
Trey Tucker of Reed Raiders.
No chance.
Raiders. Aiden O'Connell.
I'd like to see more Hicks. And I get it. Like, there is always the thing. This is my, this is a coaching philosophy thing, I would say, because my general theory on coaching philosophy would be I would rather play the more athletic player more right in the beginning and let him learn by the end, and Spags and the Chiefs would rather play the less athletic player who will stand in the correct spot. They've won a lot of Super Bowls, and I would say there are coaches who subscribe to more my way of what I would do from a thing. This point of the season, I think it's especially easy to make those changes if you're already struggling. Like, if you're a lockdown defense, yeah, why do you need to do those things? But if you're getting burnt deep a lot, you can't cover tight ends. I don't know that it hurts to see if Hicks can cover them, you know? Like, at some point, you might want to find out if the more athletic, younger safety can do it.
Yeah, and I know we're talking about the safety position, but this all still goes back to the issues at corner.
Yes.
It all puts more...
And pass rush.
And it truly is, right? It's very cliche. It's a team sport, right? But, it's all connected defensively. If you're getting more pressure on the quarterback, of course, you're not asking your corners to cover more. You're not putting your safeties in bad spots. It is all linked, and it's all... There's not one particular player that's causing all of this or anything like that. It's been multiple things. Certainly not having Jalen Watson has been a big problem for everything there. You know, and the pass rush... Charles Amenihu's back for 2 weeks. I think it's been a little bit better since he's been back, although Amenihu actually played in less snaps last week than he did in his first game back, so it's something to keep an eye on as they get set to play the Cleveland Browns.
They might have just had a little tiredness.
We'll get to our official predictions and everything in the 1 o'clock hour today, how we see this game going out. There's also just a huge game after the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. That's in Detroit. That's the Bills. That's the Lions. We know AFC number one seed implications. If the Bills drop 2 in a row and the Chiefs handle their business Sunday, the number 2 seed, I think it's done. I know some of you would say, look out for Pittsburgh. I don't believe it in terms of them beating the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Chiefs. I don't think they're winning all three, the Steelers, that is. So to me, if you can get Buffalo to lose to Detroit and the Chiefs handle their business against Cleveland, I think the number one seed is over. But that is what a lot of people think is a Super Bowl preview. Bills Lions. It's the second most likely Super Bowl matchup right now in the books. The most likely is Chiefs and Lions at 5-1. The next most likely is Lions Bills at 7-1. Makes sense, right? I don't have an issue with that. What would your Super Bowl matchup be right now if I just, gave you money to make a new bet?
Chiefs Lions.
So the two best, you take the favorite. Yeah.
They're the two best teams in the league.
Doesn't always work that way, but sure.
No, it doesn't. But and the Lions have a long history of not coming through in the postseason. But for a while, I thought the NFC was one big jumbled mess of teams I wasn't sure who was the best. And still without Aiden Hutchinson, but they've done what the Chiefs are. They lost the single most talented player on their entire roster, and it hasn't stopped them from winning. Are some games closer? Sure. But it hasn't stopped them from winning.
No.
And last year was the year too early, in my opinion. Campbell's still a young coach. All the rosters coming together. Your team's just learning to win, right? 2 years ago, you were a laughingstock. It's all coming together now. They needed, in my opinion, one more year to kind of season themselves like most teams. Chiefs don't operate in this way. And then they found it. And so, I think that they're the two best teams. If you made me bet, like, let's just say it was $1,000 and I got even money no matter. Like, if it's $1,000, I might take a longer shot because it's not my money. But if you're just saying who I think is it going to be, I think it's going to be Chiefs-Lions.
I think it's interesting that you said that you thought it was a year too early, but this year feels like this is the year for the Lions. Otherwise, they have to really look at their options. Like, their window is so much tighter. Is it because of Jared Goff just being in the situation
Goff,
he's
in? It's the fact they may lose their OC. I would also push back, not that the point of the conversation wasn't to get in your example. I know you were just years get moved around. I actually think
last year should have been the click.
Because the year before was the one where they learned how to win. They won like seven in a row in the year. Yeah. They learned last year they were in the NFC title game. Like they were prepped and ready to win. They
should have won that game. My God.
This year it's like the expectation is like, you better get back to that game. Like,
it's Super Bowl or bust for them. If they don't win the Super Bowl, this is a lost season for Detroit.
I agree.
I would say that applies to the Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Lions.
The only way the Bills are
Eagles?
In. The Bills are weird because that's not how some people viewed them preseason.
I know, but that's them every year, man. They got no Super Bowls.
When they look at the AFC and where the Chiefs appear to be more vulnerable, even if they have 12 wins and more wins than they had all of last season, which is funny. The Bills might be looking at it, okay, we think this is the year we can finally beat the Chiefs. That's probably what they're thinking. The Ravens look vulnerable. The Texans aren't as good as everybody thought. The Bengals aren't in the playoffs. Like, you start going through and you're like, this seems like maybe Josh Allen's best path to get there. They don't have to play the Chiefs, it looks like, depending on the seeding, until the AFC title game again, unless the Bills really drop off. If the Bills become the three, then they're in danger, depending on how the wild card weekend or divisional round, there's a chance you could have Buffalo in the divisional round.
Yeah.
It would take
a lot of things shifting.
Perfect matchups, it's
Steelers
a
could. I mean, the Steelers have to keep
Chiefs,
winning.
Someone on the text line says Chiefs Philly. That's 10-1 right now. If you think it's the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl,
they're
only
ever going to face San Francisco and Philadelphia in the Super Bowl.
I mean, sometimes that happens. Sometimes
just
that
like
happens.
The same. I mean, they got the Bucks in the one, but like that's it. They'd play in five Super Bowls, and two would be against Philly, two would be against San Francisco, with at least three different quarterbacks: Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts, and both.
If you go way down the board and you think we're gonna have some long shots, you know, that are out there, there's, you know,
Chiefs Packers. What can I get for that?
Chiefs Packers 28-1. That's a Super Bowl matchup. I don't hate it.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
I don't hate a flyer. No, look, if you don't think the Chiefs are making it, then that changes the odds drastically across the board. You know, if you think Buffalo is gonna get in, and it's gonna be, what's Buffalo and the Eagles 13-1? That it's a Bills Eagles Super Bowl.
We are getting bombarded with emails for hints for this.
Does that mean it's still on?
Our big boss hides a tiny elf on the shelf in the office, and there are prizes associated with finding it. Mm-hmm. Very difficult for us as we are on the show during that time. Here are the clues.
They don't know our building. This is not going to really do anything.
Well, they say it's on the floor below us. Okay. They say, hide and seek, not for the meek. Tick tock, try a box. Mm. Then it says, dig deep. Boxes come in all shapes and sizes.
It sounds like after we're done, you need your brother to be a part of the search as well with us.
I gotta like send him as a proxy. He's supposed to be on the show. Now I'm just gonna send him to this
be found in the next 5 minutes anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could be one of us.
No, I'm just saying, like,
potentially,
there's other people that are not on the air that can spend 20 minutes of their days looking. We don't have time to do that.
You could go look for 5 minutes.
How long has this thing been out for?
For at least 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This thing's been on, but we haven't had a chance to search as this show.
I haven't searched
yet. But there's
yet.
Plenty of other people in the building that are working, but they can take 20 minutes as well. You know, that's part of the name of the game.
You know when we should do it? When everybody's playing LCR. Like, if there's a way that we break perfectly when everybody's playing, we'll be the only ones looking.
Hey, I gotta be honest. We've got to be careful talking about that left, right, center game that exists in the station.
Stakes.
I think it is starting to border on an underground crime ring of gambling that you're not allowed to do, you know?
You said it, not me.
I'm just saying it's starting. If the police came and broke up this ring, I think there'd be enough money on the table to justify illegal activity. That's all I'm saying.
Carrington's behind it.
Wow.
Dang.
You're making him the crime family lead.
We're on the air during it. We don't participate in illegal activity, you know?
Someone says maybe a smartwatch box. So like a small box.
Deep.
I mean, it's a very small figure. The box is your phone. The elf is on TikTok. The elf is not on a crisper drawer in the fridge. They specifically said.
It's that we know the rough area where it's at.
Mm-hmm. It's somewhat, in our building, they told us a general area, although I will say that's still like half of an entire floor. It's not exactly narrowing it down.
Boxes downstairs. Okay. All right. During the break.
You could make a wind sprint.
I'm going to haul down there and see if I'm back in time, 1 o'clock hour or not.
If not, it's fine.
I guess we'll save the random question for when your brother's in here. How about that?
Sure.
We'll do that because we're
yeah, that seems fair.
We'll do the random question when
were there any other clues you wanted to give people? Maybe they can give you one more guess before you go down there. Oh, one said something about burning calories. I don't know what that means.
No, it says burn the sugar off.
It's got
burn the sugar.
You think it's like a chocolate box?
Burn the sugar in a box downstairs.
Or wait. Is it in or under one of the cookie boxes in the cookie display area?
That's what I was going to
say. All the cookies are in there. There are boxes with cookies in them. Are you sure it's not under a cookie?
We need to run down there then, I guess.
I actually think that that's not the worst guess here. I'm just
going
to say.
Wouldn't someone have seen it already today, though?
Man, I don't know.
There's so many people going there for the cookies.
Yeah, but they're not looking. You mean under the table? You mean under the table?
No, he means.
This prize, by the way, is Chiefs Texans tickets, so it's not nothing.
Yeah, this one's a good one.
Not nothing.
Cody didn't like yesterday's prize.
I don't remember what yesterday's prize was. Oh, look, I'll be honest. There's a certain level of prize that's going to get me, like, moving around. You know? Checking down there, searching under things.
Yeah, it's just a fun holiday thing our company does for employees this time of the year.
But there's got to, you know, but there's got to be a level of incentive to be like, all right, I'm going to spend the entire 5-minute break we've got searching. Any other guesses? You got to let us know because we only have 5 minutes to look. When we go to break, 913-586-7965. You got to tell us where it is.
Yeah, text line 1-0, Chiefs-Vikings. That's 25-1. That's a Chiefs-Vikings Super Bowl. 25-1. Up next, though, it's a Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. Cody's younger brother is going to join us in studio. I keep wanting to call him Stephen, but it's Stefan. He's going to join us in studio. We'll have some drinks. We'll talk some football. We'll find out if one of us happens to find this little elf downstairs as well.